much as possible, shall we kneel? Our kind and our gracious Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ask, Father, that thou forgive us this day for our sins and our shortcomings, that thou help us to overcome those temptations that are ours, that thou help us to overcome Satan and his power and his influence in our lives. Help us, Father, to resist him, that he would flee far from us. I pray that each of us would be more righteous in our lives, that each of us would be more committed and dedicated to serve thee, that we'd have a greater love in our hearts for one another, that we'd have a greater love in our hearts for thee, Father, that we'd show that love by our service. I pray, Father, for thy ministry, that thou raise each up in righteousness and in power, that each would be humble and submissive to thy will, that each would have that great desire to serve thee and to shepherd thy people. We pray that we'd always be led by thy Spirit. We ask, Father, that continued blessing upon those that are sick and afflicted amongst us, that thy hand would reach down, that thou touch those members of the body that may be amiss with those that are sick, that thou heal and uplift. We pray for our brother Jensen and our brother Housenick this night, that thou strengthen them, give them wisdom and understanding and comfort. We pray for the spiritual needs of thy people, that thou would look down upon those that would seem to be weak at this time, that thou would strengthen them, that thou would uplift them and help them to overcome their temptations and overcome this world. Help us each, Father, to have hearts and minds that are spiritual, and that those things that are carnal in nature would be cast from us. We pray, Father, for the work of this gospel, that it would go forward. We pray by the power of thy Spirit that this gospel would be taken to thine ancient covenant people, that it be taken to this nation and to the world as a witness unto the children of men. We ask, Father, that as we wait before thee this night, that thy Spirit would touch our hearts and our minds, that thou would open our understanding, that we'd be attentive and patient before thee, that we draw our hearts and our minds in unto thee and away from this world, that we'd be open to thy word. We lift up unto you our brother who would stand before us this night, that thy Spirit would rest upon him, that thou would open his mind, and that thou would loosen his tongue, that he would stand before us under the power of thy Spirit. So we ask that indeed our hearts and our minds would be right before thee, that we come before thee, Father, in a manner pleasing unto thee. We ask it, we thank you, and we do give you praise. In the holy name of Jesus Christ we ask.
Yes.
This evening that as our brother and servant would stand before us, that we'd give him our prayerful and our careful attention. Get to you, our brother Jay Moses.
Time is certainly slipping by. Seems as though when you're preaching that song service just seems to be awfully short. And next week at this time, your reunion will be over. Or nearly over. It's going by very quickly. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Didn't have that listed in my group of scriptures this evening. As I was sitting there, it came to me, and I decided that I would read it because it fits in with my subject this evening. I have quite a few scriptures, and I doubt if I'll be able to get to each one of them. I feel as though that when I look in the book of Revelations and I see where there are seals that are open from time to time and a trumpet that blows, I feel as though from time to time that a new era enters into the world. I feel like a new era entered into the world at the time that of the oil embargo more than 10 years ago. I believe that was something happened. I believe something took place. Either a trumpet was blown or a seal was opened and something happened. I believe that if it hasn't just happened, it's going to happen very soon. If there's going to be something else that's going to happen, a new era in time is going to come. I feel very strongly that whatever it might be, that there is something that is about to take place in the world, whether it's a greater degree of anxiety amongst the nations or a greater degree of filth in the world and sin or the greater degree of the gospel to be preached in the world, I just don't know. But I just feel like that the time has come. I wanted to read a scripture this evening that I feel has a great deal to do with our purpose. Our brother mentioned this morning that we need to know our purpose and our reason for being here and doing what we're doing. This scripture, to me, it describes the ultimate purpose which we have for ourselves and for all of mankind. And this is found in John in the 17th chapter and the first three verses. And this is the way that it's recorded. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And you remember this was the beginning of his prayer. This was the beginning of his prayer to his Father, a very significant and revealing prayer. And said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Quite a statement as I ponder it. To know God is eternal life. He is eternal life. To know Him, to be in His presence, to see His face, to feel His power, is eternal life. To dwell with Him is eternal life. I'm going to read some scriptures today that I think our brother this morning, I think he read a couple of them. I'm going to read, I think I will jump to one which he read and he focused on this morning, and that was in the 51st chapter of Isaiah. I'm just going to read one verse though. In the 51st chapter of Isaiah, the 9th verse, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. I believe that that time is coming, that time is coming, and I believe that this prophecy applies to anyone. It applies to the house of Israel in particular because they're a chosen nation, a chosen group of people. They have been chosen and they have been called, and God has made a covenant with the tribes of the house of Israel. He made a covenant, an everlasting covenant, which He will fulfill. But it applies to you and I as well, even if we perhaps are not members of the house of Israel, except by adoption. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in ancient days. I believe that there is an era of time which is coming in which men and women will exist in a state and a condition of faith and righteousness, and God will grant unto them gifts for His purposes, like unto the gifts which He granted unto Moses, like the things which He granted unto Nephi and so many, many others, Elijah and the apostles of old. I believe that era of time is coming. And I can't help but believe that it's not very far away. And so we have to know what our purpose is, and we have to know what it's all about. We have to know why we're here. I'm sure that there are some adults in this room and possibly some who are baptized members of the church in this room tonight who have not yet in their life read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover, from page 1 to page 777. Is that what it is? I think it's here, 776. I should know, shouldn't I? 777. Who haven't read it. I believe there are people in this room who haven't read the Bible from cover to cover, and yet we proclaim to ourselves, at least I hope we do, that we have the everlasting gospel, that we have an understanding about the Scriptures that are unique in this world, that we have received the everlasting gospel that was given to us by the hand of an angel. I hope that you will consider this, that you, if you have not done that, if you haven't read it, or if it has become foggy in your mind, that you'll read it again, that you'll continue to study, to learn about what our heritage really is. You can't really know about life and how to maintain our heritage. You can't really know about this gospel unless you've read those things and you have a basic understanding of what we're talking about and the promises which are contained, the things which have been restored to us, the covenants which were lost and have been restored. No, you can't really. You can't partake in the Zion of the last days. You can't partake in it unless your heart is pure. No, I don't believe God will permit you. Unless you understand and you have a burning zeal and desire for what His purposes are in the last days. If we turn again in Isaiah to the 29th chapter, is there anyone here who doesn't know the significance of the 29th chapter of Isaiah besides little children? Is there anyone who doesn't know? Well, I guess you don't have to answer. But if you don't know, you'd better know. You better know what the significance of this particular chapter in the Bible is and the significance of the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. You better know at least those two. And what they're talking about. They're talking about the Book of Mormon. Let's begin as I begin this evening preaching about the restored gospel, the 29th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to begin with the first verse. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. That's Jerusalem. Add year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee, and thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Is there anyone who doesn't understand verse 4? Is there anyone who doesn't understand what that's talking about? To speak out of the ground. That Jerusalem was going to be brought low and speak out of the dust. If you do not understand, it's speaking about the Book of Mormon. It's a direct prophecy about the Book of Mormon when Lehi and his family left Jerusalem because it was going to be destroyed. God commanded them to leave Jerusalem, and they came to the Promised Land, and they headed in the south-southeasterly direction out of Jerusalem, and they came to this land across the sea. And Jerusalem speaks from the dust through the Book of Mormon. Let's go on. Verse number 9. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry out and cry, they are drunk. But not with wine they stagger, but not with strong drink. Do you know what that means? Do you know what we have, what we believe? Do you know what I believe that is talking about? That's talking about the dark ages. The Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him who is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. That, again, is speaking directly about the Book of Mormon and its coming forth, and that the Book of Mormon came from a book that was the vision of all. The Book of Mormon came from a group of plates that was the vision of all, a book that was partially sealed that contained the vision of everything in it. And we have a part of that book. And it has a very strange and unusual fulfillment. Indeed, there was a man whom a part of this was delivered to, and his name was Professor Anthon. You can find this on page 25 of our outline history if you aren't familiar with it. And he looked at those things and he authenticated them and said it was a correct translation, the translation that our brother, elder brother Joseph Smith, was doing. And he made that statement. And the book was given back to Joseph Smith, who was a very unlearned man, an ignorant man, clumsy in his speech, clumsy in the way that he wrote. But this is not a clumsily written book. It's greatly detailed. Let's go down to the 14th verse. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. I believe that is as well a prophecy concerning the Book of Mormon and the Book of Mormon's work in these last days, and how indeed the wisdom of wise men is perished. And that prophecy, I believe, has far-reaching, a very far-reaching effect upon the United States and upon the world. Wisdom has increased as far as the learning of the world is concerned, and yet our world problems seem to have risen to a point where the entire world is anxious about them. And the wisdom of wise men has ceased. Men seek to destroy the Book of Mormon with all kinds of evidence, and yet when they do, there seems to be more evidence which comes forth to substantiate it. Verse 17, it is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And it wasn't a very little while. There was a time in the history of the world when the rains left because of God's curse upon the land. The rains left that portion of the Mideast. The rains left and the place became a dry and a desert land. But the rains returned in 1852 and 1853. After the Book of Mormon came forth, and it was just a little while after the words of that book came forth that this happened. Verse 24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. And so what is our purpose with this book that we find that is mentioned in the Bible, and what is the purpose that we have? What is our purpose with it? A young lady asked me today what the reason was for the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Why do we have to have Scripture? We got in a very good discussion about that. Got a little sidetracked, but we got in a very good discussion today. And so, I wonder, parents, do your children know what the reason for the Book of Mormon is? Do they understand this heritage that we have? Are you teaching them? Do you read to them? Are they reading with you? Do they understand what it's all about? Are they beginning to learn and have a comprehension by the reason of the fact that they're hearing it so often, that they're hearing about it, learning about it, and you're talking about it because it's one of the motivating factors in your life, I hope. I want to read from the second chapter of the Book of Commandments in the sixth verse. Nevertheless, my work shall go forth and accomplish my purposes, For as the knowledge of a Savior has come into the world, even so shall the knowledge of my people, the Nephites and the Jacobites and the Josephites and the Zoramites, come to the knowledge of the Lamanites and the Lemuelites and the Ishmaelites, which dwindle in unbelief because of the iniquities of their fathers, who have been suffered to destroy their brethren because of their iniquities and their abominations. Do you know who those people are? Do you know who the Nephites and Jacobites and Zoramites and Ishmaelites, the Lamanites and Lemuelites and Josephites and so on and so forth are? I hope that you have a pretty good comprehension of who each one of those groups of people are, just because it's one of the motivating factors in your life to know about this book that some of us someday may be persecuted because of, like our forefathers, and may be slain or killed or dragged through the streets, or they may come into our churches. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that someone could come into this church and take our books or burst into your homes. It's happened throughout recent history. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that that would ever happen, that it could possibly happen right here in this land of freedom. Maybe it will, and maybe it won't. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But those things are happening today in other countries. They happen in other countries. And for this very purpose are these plates preserved, which contain these records, that the promises of the Lord might be fulfilled, which He made to His people, and that the Lamanites might come to the knowledge of their fathers, and that they might know the promises of the Lord, and that they may believe the gospel and rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ, and be glorified through faith in His name, and that through their repentance they might be saved. Amen. No, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that some strange things can happen, that we could be found doing things which are suddenly illegal, having church in someone's home when Hubert goes to Sholo. Someday he may be breaking the law. There is a move for that in this country. It's very real. It's very real. It's very real because of all the groups, the small little groups of smart tax dodgers and so on and so forth that desire to use their home for a church so they can get a tax write-off. I think maybe some of those things may have been done away. But it's not beyond the realm of possibility for the government to say, because of the strange cults and occults and things that are in this world, and in our own country and right in our own backyard, that they would say, you know, you can't do that anymore. And we'll just eliminate that. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. And will you be strong enough? Will you know enough about what you believe in to say, you know, that it's worth the cost that it might, the cost that may come to us someday? Revelations. Chapter 14. Verse 6 and 7. I hope that when you hear that and you know what my subject is, that you would know what I'm going to read. That you would know, because you understand what we base and what we use and what we teach. Verse 6 and 7, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Now at that time in which this prophecy came to Brother John, the scriptures which are found in the New Testament of the Bible had been written. They were not compiled yet, but they had been written. The Old Testament was in existence, throughout the world in most places. And yet it's very interesting. In the gospel, by this time, it was given. It had been given to those apostles. It had been given to those disciples. Jesus was there. He used his ministry for about 3.5 years. And for 3.5 years after that, his gospel was in Jerusalem among the Jews and in the Jews around the world. And it began to go to the Gentiles. It was there. It was in the world. It was in the world. But now here, John, a prophet, looking down through to events that had to do with things that were related to the last days and the seals and the things which were about to come forth, said he saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to be preached unto them on the earth. Do you understand the significance of that? Are you willing to stake your life on it? The 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Now, I'm not going to read the part in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel about the two sticks. The two sticks, we know what that means. I hope we all understand what the two sticks are and that they're books. And one's the Bible and one's the Book of Mormon. I hope that we understand what those things are. But I'm going to begin with the first verse and read something that has... It's related to these two sticks. It has something to do with it. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And those bones, brothers and sisters, I put forth to you are the house of Israel. The house of Israel, through whom in these last days God is going to fulfill all of His promises unto the children of men. Through the house of Israel. A valley which was full of bones. Bones signifying something dead. Something dead. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? We look out into the world, and we understand where the house of Israel, at least we understand who the Lamanites are, and what part of the house of Israel they are, and who the Jews are, and what part of the house of Israel they represent. But yet there's more. But yet those two groups of people are included in these bones. Even though we know who they are and they're yet alive, they're included in these bones. And I would hope that our brothers and sisters in Mexico, being part of the house of Israel, that they're not really included in these bones. That they've received some life. And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I believe, this is my interpretation, but I believe the Spirit has borne witness to me that this is happening. This is happening. When I look out into the world and I see tribes of people, and when I see the nations of the world in turmoil, when I see people looking for their roots, when I see people in this world that are when I revolt and rebellion and discontent, when I see the world making a noise, some kind of a noise, and yet if we read on here, it says, "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." As I look at the house of Israel, and as I look at the people in Jerusalem, I believe I've seen that fulfilled right there, yet no breath, no life. And Jesus Christ quoted a scripture. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then said he unto me, "Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." And I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And I believe that has not yet been fulfilled, except just in a part, like our brothers and sisters in Mexico, a beginning of the house of Israel coming to the knowledge of the gospel in the last days, for which the very purpose that this gospel was sent to us, this is our purpose. I'm going to read from the Book of Mormon now several scriptures which I believe support what I've just said, that when they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it is delivered unto them, and when they begin to believe and to understand that Jesus is the Christ, then they will begin to live. Page 25, verse 19. And fine, after the Gentiles had received the fullness of the gospel, the natural branches of the olive tree, or the remnants of the house of Israel, should be grafted in, or come to the knowledge of the true Messiah, their Lord and their Redeemer. Page 44. My brother Gordon said that today we're going to have a part in spreading this gospel. Well, you see there already the Gentile church in the last days, those who were to have the gospel first in the last days, after they received it, that then the house of Israel, the remnants of the house of Israel, would receive it. Page 44, verse 14. Now I'm going to read through verse 29. Perhaps maybe skip something in between. Verse 14. "Behold, I say unto you that the house of Israel was compared unto an olive tree by the Spirit of the Lord which was in our fathers. And behold, are we not broken off from the house of Israel? And are we not a branch of the house of Israel? And now the thing which our Father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days, when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, after the Messiah shall be manifest in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed." Let's see. "And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are of the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also to the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him, Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of His doctrine, that they may know how to come unto Him and be saved. Don't be too deceived. Don't be deceived and discouraged when once in a while, like we had happen to us just a few years ago, there's a group of Indians that comes by our way and they don't quite take hold of the gospel. Don't go running out after them to the point where you would compromise your beliefs. Don't run out after an individual who may be a very powerful man unless that man has embraced the fullness of the gospel and the very points of Christ's doctrine. And then at that day, verse 20, will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock and their salvation? Yea, at that day will they not receive the strength and nourishment from the true vine? Yea, will they not come unto the true fold of God? Behold, I say unto you, yea, they shall be remembered again among the house of Israel. And they shall be grafted in, being a natural branch of the olive tree into the true olive tree. And this is what our Father meaneth. And He meaneth that it will not come to pass until after they are scattered by the Gentiles. That's happened. That's happened and taken place. Now, you know, it is true that when this book was written, that a great deal of that scattering had already taken place. It had already taken place by the Gentiles. And a lot of it even took place before the book was written, and maybe 100 years before, or more than 100 years before, when the Spanish went into Mexico, there was a great deal of scattering and bloodshed and horror and horrible things that took place. But after this was written, there was another tremendous push into the west of North America. And there were tremendous and horrible things which really are akin to, they resemble in many of their respects to the Nazis and the way they treated the Jews. They're horrible things that our country, that our forefathers did to the Indians in the west. Terrible, terrible things which they did. And yet, it was prophesied. It should be. And He meaneth, verse 27, that it shall come by way of the Gentiles, that the Lord may show His power unto the Gentiles. For the very cause that He shall be rejected of the Jews or of the house of Israel. Wherefore our Father hath not spoken of our seed alone, but also of all the house of Israel. Now this is very important to remember. But also of all the house of Israel, pointing to the covenant which should be fulfilled in the latter days. Which covenant the Lord made to our father Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now most people in the world, brothers and sisters, who are Christians, would say and believe that, and we believe it as well, that it was through Jesus Christ to whom all the world would be blessed. But here we find that in as well, the fulfilling of God's covenants through the house of Israel and through the house of Israel would all the nations of the world be blessed in the latter days. When God reaches out to claim them once again and the gospel is preached in all the world to reclaim His children, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Page 99, verse 27 at the bottom of the page. And the day cometh that they shall be smitten and afflicted. Wherefore, after they are driven to and fro, for thus saith the angel, many shall be afflicted in the flesh, and shall not be suffered to perish because of the prayers of the faithful. They shall be scattered and smitten and hated. Nevertheless, the Lord will be merciful unto them, that when they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer, they shall be gathered together again. When they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer, they shall be gathered together again to the lands of their inheritance. And blessed are the Gentiles, they of whom the prophets the prophet has written, "For behold, if it so be that they shall repent and fight not against Zion, and do not unite themselves to that great and abominable church, they shall be saved." Here we have a prophecy and a promise that is given unto you and I, in which we could, and it is possible, and it does happen, we could unite ourselves with a lesser gospel, a lesser kingdom, unite ourselves with the great and abominable church and the desires of the world. Let's see. We go to page 157. There's much more in each one of these places. There's much more that's written. I hope that you understand it and that you remember the things as I read them, that you recall having read them. Each one of them tells us a little bit, sheds a little more light upon what is going to transpire between now and the coming of our Lord. Verse 67, on page 157. "For behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews." And we see, well, let's go on. "And the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home unto the lands of their possession, and my word also shall be gathered in one." I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. And that is part of our purpose in this gospel. And it overshadows so many other needs and so many other things. It overshadows. And it should be the primary purpose in our thinking and one of the primary things in our prayers, that God would again remember His covenant with great power unto the house of Israel, and that we might be permitted, just permitted to assist Him in some way. Verse 79, "And now I would prophesy somewhat more concerning the Jews and the Gentiles." Well, let me back up just a little bit, because this is another important part in this, that we must understand that we are equals in this gospel with the house of Israel. Verse 75, "And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed." Now, see, here's another element that's being brought into this about the gospel being preached and the words of the books being united together. Not only these two, but more. But this other element is somewhere along the line, and we have to realize it and face it, someday there's going to be some kind of a destruction upon this land. A great chastening of the Lord. But it says here, "We need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. And the Lord covenant with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in His Son, who is the Holy One of Israel." Now let's go on. Verse 79, "And now I would prophesy somewhat more concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord, this is talking about the Book of Mormon, isn't it? At least I hope you understand that. and sealed up again unto the Lord. That book, Joseph Smith had a book, and he had many plates that were in this book, and part of it was sealed. He was permitted to translate a portion of it, and then it was taken up and it was sealed again for a future time. For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written. And I hope that we're part of that many. And they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. Now it doesn't really say that that when we carry them forth that they'll be convinced of it. But it says that the Gentiles would carry it forth, and it said there'd be many. And I hope when we get our new Books of Mormon, those words are the same. I'm pretty sure they will be. Now, let's see. Let's just go on and read some more, through verse 87. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out from Jerusalem, and that they are descendants of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among them, wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers. And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God, and their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and they shall live. This is where they'll get their life. This, the marvelous work and the wonder, is where they will gain the life, the breath coming into their bodies. This is where it will come from. And the scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a white and a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Jews which are scattered also shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to gather in upon the face of the land. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people, and that includes you. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence His work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples to bring about the restoration of His people upon the earth. Page 205. This is Mormon's prayer. In this part of the Book of Mormon, Mormon made some comments about the things which he had condensed and translated. But Mormon was a man, if you look at the bottom of your Books of Mormons, this is estimated to be written about 385 A.D. So it was quite a number of years after. It's kind of a book that's placed in the middle that's out of place in time sequence, okay? And I hope you already knew that. You already knew it because you know the Book of Mormon. But we'll continue on. Verse 10 through verse 12. And this is Mormon who is talking. And he's talking because he's one of the last people who serves God in the land. He was alone, except for his brother or his son and maybe a few others. And I do this for a wise purpose. For thus it whispereth me, according to the workings of the Spirit of the Lord, which is in me. And now I do not know all things, but the Lord knoweth all things which are to come. Wherefore He worketh in me to do according to His will. And my prayer to God is concerning my brethren, that they may once again come to the knowledge of God, yea, the redemption of Christ, that they may once again be a delightsome people. And at that time, His people were a loathsome people, wicked, bloodthirsty, murderers, rapers, whoremongers, and they were destroyed. But this was his prayer. He condensed these plates and abridged them and wrote these things down and made a record of his own days and time for this purpose, that someday in the future, they might again come to the knowledge of their Redeemer. Page 218. Verse 121. And moreover I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught thy people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken unto thee. And isn't that interesting? Here he's talking about the knowledge of the Savior, and when God, in the future, which it can't be too very far off in the future, when the knowledge of the Savior shall be spread throughout all the world, and things which God has commanded His people to preach and to testify and to spread the gospel and the books across the face of the earth, they will be found no more blameless. No more innocent, unless they're only little children. Page 699. Verse 39. I find this to be very interesting scripture. Because this, we have read up to this point of how primarily this book really was for the Lamanites and for the Nephites who survived, who have been absorbed into the Lamanite culture. But we have had some mention of the Jews, but here it says the Book of Mormon is for the Jews as well. Verse 39. And now these things are written unto the remnant of the house of Jacob, and they are written after this manner, because it is known of God that wickedness will not bring them forth unto them. And they are to be hid up unto the Lord, that they may come forth in His own due time. Again, I hope you realize we're talking about those plates, that sealed book which came forth, and part of it we have. And this is the commandment which I have received, and behold, they shall come forth according to the commandment of the Lord, when He shall see fit in His wisdom. And behold, they shall go unto the unbelieving of the Jews. And for this intent shall they go, that they may be persuaded that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now see, I see this Book of Mormon could very well be, in these last days, the most powerful tool we have to persuade the Jews that Jesus is the Christ, because it's another witness and testimony, and perhaps in the minds of some, with the help of the Spirit of God, it will cause a great dawning that maybe they missed it. They really did miss it, perhaps. And that they missed that Jesus was the Christ, because here from another country, far away, we have the same testimony. That the Father may bring about through His most beloved His great and eternal purpose in the restoring of the Jews or all the house of Israel to the land of their inheritance, which the Lord their God hath given them unto the fulfilling of His covenant. And also that the seed of this people may more fully believe His gospel, which shall go forth unto them from the Gentiles. Now, okay, page 703. Verse 24 through verse 27. And now behold, I would speak somewhat unto the remnant of this people who are spared, if it so be that God may give unto them my words. And this again, this is Mormon again speaking. as he watched his people destroyed. Yea, I speak unto you, ye remnant of the house of Israel, and these are the words which I speak. Know ye that ye are of the house of Israel? Know ye that ye must come unto repentance, or ye cannot be saved? Know ye that ye must lay down your weapons of war, and delight no more in the shedding of blood, and take them not again, save it be that God shall command you. Know ye that ye must come to the knowledge of your fathers, and repent of all your sins and iniquities, and believe in Jesus Christ, that he is a Son of God, and that he was slain by the Jews, and by the power of the Father he was risen again, whereby he hath gained the victory over the grave, and also in him is the sting of death swallowed up. Verse 30. Therefore repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which shall be set before you, not only in this record, but also in the record which shall come unto the Gentiles from the Jews. Which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you? That's speaking of the Bible. For behold, this is written, this, the Book of Mormon, is written for the intent that ye may believe that, the Bible. And if ye may believe that, ye will believe this also. And if ye believe this, ye will know concerning your fathers, and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them. And ye will also know that ye are a remnant of the seed of Jacob, therefore ye are numbered among the people of the first covenant. And then my last scripture this evening is on page 713. Just two verses at the bottom of page 713. And there are many other scriptures in the Book of Mormon in particular, which add details to the purpose for the Book of Mormon being here, the purpose for the Book of Mormon and the Bible being here, what they're to do. And if you don't understand what those reasons are, then how could you properly organize, how could you properly maintain our local? How could, if you don't know what these purposes are, how can, and you don't understand the principles that are in the gospel, then you can't really make good judgments about things that are even on the smallest local level that we have here on our own church. Not to mention the church-wide things or the missionary effort. Page 713, verse 102. And behold, these things which we have desired concerning our brethren, yea, even their restoration to the knowledge of Christ, is according to the prayers of all the saints who have dwelt in the land. And may the Lord Jesus Christ grant that their prayers may be answered according to their faith. And may God the Father remember the covenant which he hath made with the house of Israel. And may he bless them forever through faith on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a scripture which I didn't read, which was among these which I read, which brings out the point that when we read what we read about these people and when we see what's taken place in history, the horrible things in history, that the author said that he wrote some of these things because he knew that some of the Gentiles would feel this tugging and this anxiety within them because of the departure of the house of Israel from God's way. But he wrote some of those things as well that they might know that he has a covenant with them. And I think, you know, as I have read some of the things which have taken place, and even though they were prophesied and God said it would transpire, they're still kind of hard to take, the things that have transpired, that have happened to our brothers and sisters, or that have happened to, they might not have been our brothers and sisters, but the people in the gospel, or the people that are of the house of Israel, the Lamanites, the Indians. And it started long before the conquest of the West and includes far more of the Indians than just the ones that we see up here. The majority of our brothers and sisters are from south of the border. So I would exhort you that you would keep your eyes and ears open for ways in which and in your prayers that God would be able to lead us and to lead the leaders of our church. And the ministry of His church and you as individuals to a greater service among our Lamanite brothers and sisters. And take a look, you know, at the things that are happening right now which could bring about an ability for us to be able to take the gospel to them. There's all kinds of things which I look at and I wonder, and maybe in the faith that I have in what's written in the Book of Mormon about those prophecies, unless it brings forth some kind of fruit in each one of us, if that faith in it, then really it's not really faith at all, is it? Our faith, the first thing, should bring forth prayer that we might have a part in this. A prayer that we would have a part in this great work. Across the border every day. Every day there are people who come across the border into our country, and they're from there. We've had one in our midst. And maybe we have opportunities for service. And I know that myself, and I know so many others, they have this great yearning. And young men like Ken and like Joel, and young ladies like Debbie and Mike and Val, and so many people, they have this great desire to see something and to do something and to be a part of something. And I believe with all my heart, because of things which I have read of godly people in the past, that He leads them to find something in which they can engross themselves in that is fulfilling, and even though it's hard and has these moments of discouragement, and yet it's a road of where you walk in faith every day of your life, and a road which doesn't bring riches, but something which you can give your time and your effort and your energy and know at the end of the day that my efforts were for a worthwhile cause. And that's not to belittle what our local congregation, the work which we can do right here among our own selves and among our children on Sunday afternoon. But there is, I know, there is something that is much greater, and someone, somewhere along the line, God is going to give them the right and the privilege to do it. Through great sacrifice. It won't be popular. It may not be popular with the members of our family. I don't really think it is. As I look and I read books about people, the decisions they made, sometimes they weren't popular and people thought they were stupid. Our brother Hubert has decided to go into the missionary field, and Hubert and Louise have made some strides to do that. And yet even brothers and sisters within our own number, people belittle that. And it's appalling to me. It's appalling to me. Because I know that's what's needed, and I know it's not easy, and I know there's great sacrifice, and sometimes great trial that goes with it. But as I look and I see how God's people worked in the past, that's what they did. That's what they did.
Shall we stand?
Oh, Father, we are grateful for this time we spend in your presence. We're thankful, Father, for the message that we have heard, and we ask that indeed thou strengthen our hearts and our minds, that we would go forward from this time to fulfill thy purposes in our lives. May we indeed have a sure foundation of our heritage and those things which transpired that brought us to this point in our lives. We continue to ask, Father, that those that stand in need would receive thy blessing. We ask thy continued watch care throughout the coming days, that thou would bless us and keep us from Satan's power and keep us safe and secure in thine arms. We pray for our reunion, Father, that thy Spirit would be here to bless us. We pray that each would prepare in heart and mind to worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we would come with a singleness of purpose, that thou would be pleased with us, and that thou would indeed bless us beyond measure. We are thankful for all that we have, and we praise thy name this night, in Jesus' name.